I was going to preach this morning, and I'm just going to set this aside. We are on the cusp, I think, of something incredible in our lifetime. My heart is I wanted to kick off, so to speak, just revival. And I wanted to kick off some of the historical content of revival and how it affected this nation and the world. But it's hard to get into the game when you're not on your game, right? So this morning, what I really feel the Holy Spirit wants us to do, and that's who leads us, is the Holy Spirit. I don't have this agenda that's a year-long agenda. Some people say, what's your vision? I hear Proverbs 18 or 19, or 22:19 that says, without a vision, the people perish. What that means, without a vision, what that word vision means is revelation. So without revelation from God, the people will run astray. So vision brings us back together, but vision is not a church fix program. There's so many things that come my way on the internet. You know, how to fix your church, how to get hundreds of thousands of people back through the doors. How to. I want God's vision. And the vision of Jesus, I want that vision because this is his church. It's not a church made by man. Yes, it was, but it's not held and contained by all these man-made ideas. We want to hear and we want to follow the Holy Spirit. So this is one of those mornings. I asked Nikki when I called her, could you hold off because God's doing something in my heart? Could you hold off, do one song, and then let's just lean into what God wants to do, and then we're going to get back to worship. Okay? There are some of you in this room that are really hurting right now, that you're having a hard time getting in the game, so to speak. There are broken and wounded components to your heart. It could be your history. There's a lot of things that make up that kind of chemistry in us where we're just this way or that way, and a lot of it has to do with our personal history. If you struggle with your past, if you struggle with some of the history of your past, what I'm saying in this is that the enemy, and I'm totally winging it here, just trust in Jesus, the enemy has held on to those tapes. And whenever the enemy comes and we're in a down low moment, like right now we're in this moment. In fact, I will share this because this would lead into that. Turn really quickly to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Here, the prophet Isaiah is speaking something that he depicted that was coming in the future. And this was, he saw a great clash between light and between darkness. And he prophesied this. Listen, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon who?
You.
Say me.
Me.
Say it louder.
Me.
There we go. Has risen upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. Are we not in that moment right now? Think in terms of tectonic plates. Down in Southern California, where I grew up, there was the infamous San Andreas Fault. Yeah, and I mean, I remember running out of the house during earthquake moment, and you'd see the desert rippling like this. Literally, the Joshua Tree is just doing this. It was unbelievable. You'd go out to this place called the Devil's Punch Bowl, and then there was rocks the size of this building just shoved straight up. So in other words, tectonic plates are something that's under the earth that we don't see, but it's happening. And right now, we're in that moment. Heaven and earth is just coming together, and it's just pressing down. And that's what you're feeling. And that's what the enemy is doing. He's messing with your heart and he's messing with your heads. And if he can get you off your game or off balance, it's hard to feel like, yeah, I want to play in the game. Put me in, coach. And right now we're in one of those moments. It goes on to say, but the Lord rises upon you. His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. The prophet Isaiah, he prophesied all this because he saw it happening. He saw heaven invading earth and earth pushing back, and we're caught in the crossfire. That's a lot of the angst that you are feeling. That's a lot of the stuff that you're going through right now. A lot of you are in battles of all different ways, shapes, and forms. And I'm telling you, God is saying, it's time, because my light is upon you. It's time to arise and to shine. And what happens is the enemy, he knows our history. We came to Jesus and said, God, forgive me. God forgot everything you ever did. He's not holding on to the videos. But the enemy, you get in that moment when you're a little bit weak, things are down, your spiritual receptivity's tanking, you're just, and then all of a sudden, the summer of 82 shows. And you're like, oh my goodness. And the enemy's going, yeah, remember? You're like, I don't want to see this. But it's playing on the chalkboard of your mind. You can't shut your eyes tight enough to block it out. How many know that one? And it keeps coming and it keeps coming. Some of it is flashbacks to things that were spoken. My father was so beat down verbally by his father that my dad believed he rose to like this. He couldn't quite buy into all the rest that God had for him, because he was constantly told, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. Why can't you be smart like your sisters are? He grew up with this. So he grew up believing he was less than. So I want to address this for a moment this morning. I want to pray for those of you that are in that moment where the whole world seems like it's cascading down on you. And again, the videos are playing. And you're going, God, I thought you forgot this. He did. He did. It's the enemy. It's the enemy. So, I'm just going to do it. We're not going to do any music with this for a moment. We're just going to say, God, come. Now, we are people of the vineyard. That's an affiliation that we have with a national movement. And in that, one of our things that we say a lot is come, Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is here. But we want to see the Holy Spirit manifest in tangible ways. Like the day of Pentecost, they saw flames of fire. They felt something in the atmosphere. And they saw with their eyes people being touched. They heard with their ears languages and things spoken in their own tongue. It was like, how? In other words, it was experiential all the way at that moment. I want this morning to be experiential for you, that you feel and leave here knowing and feeling the manifest presence of God, because that's what we need in this moment, and that's what will light our hearts on fire for revival. It starts with me. It starts with you. It starts inside of us. God, come, revive me. Revive me. Revive us. And as revival begins to sweep and move and carry on, it will bring a reformation. And that's what we need in this land. We need a total reformation. Wow. So let's stand. You know, I want you guys to know with all of my heart, I am, and the leadership here is so fully committed to the fruitfulness and the fulfillment of God's presence that life-changing, life-altering presence of God here in this tribe. But here's what happens. When I hear anyone speak negatively about the church, I get defensive. If such talk wasn't so damaging, it would almost be amusing to hear these young and old leaders and begin to undermine the church. I know the church is not perfect. And I know we need to be healed in so many ways and so many different levels. But sometimes I wonder if they really understand the heart of Jesus towards his bride. It's sad to me to see so many of these reactionary attempts of all these disgruntled people that try to stand up and re-engineer the church. Listen, the church doesn't need to be re-engineered. What the church needs is a new heart. And I want to be part of that, that brings the new heart to another generation. I want my heart to be aligned with his. I want my heart to beat in sync with his. I want to know him. And I think you do too. So I just want to ask, God has given me this gift. I can read people's mail, but I don't want to do that this morning as much as I just want to call us all into his presence. Call us all into his presence. Every one of us in this room, I pray when we leave here today, we will have had again experience God in a very tangible way. He's touched our hearts. We have felt his presence. And all of this is for creating in us a new heart that says, sign me up, put me in the game. How many of you really literally want to be in the game, used by God in a powerful way? Yeah. Yeah. But again, some of us are at this point where we're standing there and there's something away in the way blocking us, like a roadblock that's keeping us from going farther. And that's what I want to take care of this morning. So if that's you, if you feel you've gone as far as you can, there's something holding you back. It's a roadblock of something, some form, something, some action, something somebody's doing. If you feel that that's in front of you and it's so big, it's so real that you're just stopped and frozen in that moment, I'd like you to raise your hand. Yeah. Hold them up really high. Church, here's your assignment. I want you to gather around these people, and I want you to pray for these people, that God would move the roadblock, because we need every able hand in here as we move forward and work to endeavor. We endeavor to see just Jesus come. Okay? We need every hand. So just come. Surround these people really quick. Just begin to pray for them. I told you it'd be a little different this morning, but there's a lot of brokenness in this room this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just pray that you would answer the cries of these wounded hearts. Father, that you would download a peace unlike they've ever known before, that peace that surpasses all understanding. And I pray, God, that in that moment, you would bring a revelation and perhaps even, God, a strategy of how they are to maneuver and to navigate the waters ahead. Thank you, Jesus. We speak right now to the voices that are speaking against you, and we say, stop. In the name of Jesus. Stop in the name of Jesus. Stop in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that you would return people to their passion they once knew, to that first love. Father, your word tells us to return to our first works. Jesus, you said that. Return, do a 180, change the way we think, change our attitude, whatever it takes to go back to those things that we first fell in love with, the passion that we once had. Father, I pray that that passion would begin to roll deep into people's hearts this morning. A passion, God, a passion. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Send it, Lord. Send it, Lord. Father, we're just asking that you would fill our homes with peace once again. Peace. Fill our homes with peace. Fill our home with that joy that only you can bring, God. Please, fill our homes. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. 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 You can kind of wrap this up a little bit. There'll be more. Joy. Yeah. And I did a ton of research. Did a super deep dive into revival. Went places, read books I'd not read before. And one thing that really stuck out to me was how amazing revival really is. But are we prepared? The one thing that caused it to kind of decrescendo, kind of come to a wrap and a finish, was a lack of preparedness in the church. In fact, the church was sometimes the last to actually experience the revival because they were like, we don't do it this way. I certainly experienced that. When I came to Jesus, I was young. I was 16 years old. I had left home. My stepmom had booted me. I was living in my car, and it wasn't easy. And I remember I wanted to go to church so bad. And all I had at that moment was some coveralls that were clean. They were nice. And I remember walking into a mainline church in Grants Pass. And I walked in, I sat down, I was so excited to be with other believers, to be in the presence of God. And an elder walks up and taps me on the shoulder. And he says, young man, now you got to remember, this is the tail end of the Jesus movement. And he came up and said, young man, come with me. So he took me out in the foyer. He said, young man, if you want to worship in this house, you need to be properly clad. I said, this is all I have. He said, then you need to go get a job and buy better clothes. Really did a lot of damage to my heart.
Yeah.
Now, that's been healed. When I told the pastor of that church, who was a good friend, he wasn't the pastor then. He was mortified. And he just started tears in his eyes. He says, I wonder how many others got turned away for the very same reason. We weren't ready for them. Are you ready to have your world turned upside down for Jesus? Amen. I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just lean into worship this morning. It's a personal thing between you and Jesus, but I say, come Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? He is here, but we want him to manifest his presence in a touchable, tangible way that we know that we know that we know whose we are. Amen? So let's stand. Let's worship Jesus. Amen.